always offer our most loving and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please be with us every moment of our lives. Let us make every morning a morning of added determination and purity to march on the path of love towards the destination which is you and you alone. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to this yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Ganesha. This bhajan is in the language Sanskrit and it has four lines. The first line goes like this.
Ganesha Sharanam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
So let's move on and become familiar with the lyrics of this bhajan, and then as always we'll go on and learn the raga, the tala, as well as the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to three former students of Bhagwan's university explaining to us what Bhagwan has instructed about bhajan singing. So here are the lyrics spelt out slowly and clearly for you.
Ganesha Sharanam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam Nitya Smaranam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Satguru Charanam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Bhava Bhaya Haranam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line very slowly, followed by Anirudh. As you listen to Anirudh, please join him in singing. That will help you to get an idea of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Ganesha Sharanam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
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 Nitya Smaranam 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 Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
Sadguru Charanam 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 Parama Pavanam సత్యసాయనం గజాననం
భవభయహరణం పరమ పావనం 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 సత్యసాయనం గజాననం
గణేశ శరణం పరమ పావనం సత్యసాయనం గజాననం
So you heard the tune of this bhajan explained to you by Brother Ravi Kumar and Brother Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studios to tell us the raga behind this bhajan. So please, Anirudh, throw some light on what are the swaras and in which raga is this bhajan constructed.
Saram Vishu, this is a very beautiful bhajan in the rag Sindhu Bhairavi, I guess, because the when I went through the notes in which this bhajan is falling through, I think the most of the notes this bhajan has are derived from the rag Sindhu Bhairavi. Though I can say that maybe you don't have typical Sindhu Bhairavi phrases over in this bhajan, but I can say very well that it is from the raga Sindhu Bhairavi.
It is definitely largely based on this raga Sindhu Bhairavi.
Yeah, the mood and listeners can more relate to other bhajans in Sindhu Bhairavi than any other raga.
It's closest to Sindhu Bhairavi.
Yeah, Sindhu Bhairavi, yeah. And it is Bhairavi in Hindustani classical music.
Okay. So please give us an idea of what is the structure of Sindhu Bhairavi.
Yeah. I think we have done many sessions before with this raga Sindhu Bhairavi, because I remember playing the very famous A.R. Rahman's album Connections, in which there is a beautiful flute piece in the raga Sindhu Bhairavi. Silent Invocation it is named as.
Yes.
So the raga Sindhu Bhairavi goes like this. In this raga you have Sa re, re is komal.
Yeah.
Ga, ga is also minor ga, komal ga. Ma, pa, da, dha is komal dha. Ni, ni is also komal.
Sa, sa ni da pa. Ma ga re sa.
So this is the basic structure, but you also have notes like
sa re re ga ma re sa re.
That is shudri.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful phrase in Sindhu Bhairavi.
So definitely both the rays are used.
And even
Dhani Sada Pa.
You don't have the play of both the dhas in this bhajan. You have like a
Jaya Panduranga Prabhu.
In that bhajan you have
Ashrita Dina Janavanaranga.
There you have the play of both the dhas. So there are so many notes in this raga actually. If you see, you have Shuddri, Komalri, Shuddidha, Komaldha.
You have so many soft notes.
Yeah.
Plus you have at various occasions you can use even the major notes.
Yeah.
So that
and
way you have a lot of
the combination of both this major and minor notes give a total different feel altogether.
Exactly.
And experience.
Magic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So would you like to do a small alap in this raga?
Yeah, definitely.
Arana. Arana. Arana.
An amazing call from the soul, if I may call it that. Wonderful. So can we now move on with this bhajan, Anirudh? If you can explain the swaras for every line of Ganesha Charanam.
Yeah. So we'll do the first line now.
Yeah. Anand is here to follow the swaras as you sing line after line.
Yeah.
Ganesha Charanam Parama Pavanam Satyasainam Gajananam.
Actually, if you see in the first line, it little deviates from the Sindhu Bharavi.
Okay.
Where you have the Shuddha Ga is there in this line.
Okay.
Sa 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 sarine, sa 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 sarine, sa 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 sarine, sa sa re ga ma ga ma.
Sa 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 re ni, sa 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 re ni, sa 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 re ni, sa sa re ga ma ga ma.
Yeah, so you observe that sa re ga, whereas in Sindhu Bharavi you have sa re ga ma re sa.
Yes.
The second line?
Yeah.
Nityasmaranam paramapavanam satyasainam gajananam. Papa pada pamama pamare maga dada damare re gari gare sa.
Papa pada pamama pamare maga dada damare re gare gare sa.
Sadguru charanam param pavanam satyasainam gajananam. Ga mama dada nini sa sa niri sa nini sa 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 dani dani da pa.
Ga mama dada nini sa sa niri sa nini sa 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 dani dani da pa.
And the last line is very similar to the second line.
Yes.
Bhava bhaya haranam paramapavanam satyasainam gajananam. Pa 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 da pa ma ma pa ma re ma ga da 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 ma re re ga re ga re sa.
Pa 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 da pa ma ma pa ma re ma ga da 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 ma re re ga re ga re sa.
I think that's beautiful, laying down the inner structure of the bhajan, and that will really help so many listeners who are connoisseurs of music. And Anirudh, can you please go on and tell us something more about Sindhu Bhairavi and bhajans, maybe some more bhajans which are based on this raga. You mentioned one or two, but maybe you can share with our listeners some more bhajans, because I guess there are many bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, there are plenty of bhajans in this raga. The bhajan which immediately comes to my mind is
Shama Sundara Hare Govinda Bolo.
Beautiful bhajan in Sindhu Bharavi. You also have
Shri Rama Jaya Rama Jaya Jaya Rama.
Then
Manmohan Murali Dhari Jaya Radhe Govinda. Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Hari Bol.
Do you have any other Ganesha Bhajan in this raga?
Ganesha Bhajan, you have
Gananatha, Gananatha.
Yes, I think that really gives us a very good idea of this raga. And
also I'm
Sai
reminded of a beautiful bhajan composed by Hariharan sir in the series Bhavanjali Volume 1.
Okay.
Darshan do Prabhu Sainatha. Darshan do Prabhu Sainatha.
Amazing. I think each bhajan in Bhavanjali 1 is a gem, and this is one of them. Wonderful. So can we move on to the beat, Anirudh?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is regular Adi Talam 8 beat.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Bishu.
Thank you, Bishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So now we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the beat of this bhajan. And here comes the other most important aspect, understanding the feeling with which we should offer this bhajan to the Lord. And to offer it with feeling, we need to understand the meaning of its each word. So let's start with the first line.
Ganesha Sharanam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
The first word here is Ganesha, derived from Gana and Isha, where Gana refers to a class of divine entities who constitute the army of Lord Ganesha, and Isha means master or lord. So Ganesha is the one who rules over the Ganas. Bhagwan says that Ga stands for intellect, and Na means Vijnana or higher knowledge. So Ganesha means the Lord of the intelligence, Lord of the intellect and higher knowledge. Bhagwan also explains that the Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas, that is the five organs of perception and five organs of action, like the eyes, the ears, the nose, etc., in addition to the mind and the intellect, all of these together constitute the Ganas. So that explains Ganesha. The second word is Sharanam, meaning surrender. The third word, Parama, means supreme, and Pavanam means pure. The fifth word is Satya Sainam, referring to our beloved Lord Sai. And the last word is Gajananam, coming from Gaja, means elephant, and Anana means face. Now, what is the inner meaning of the elephant face of Lord Ganesha? Baba explains that the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals, and it is vegetarian, indicating of its sattvic or its pure nature. The elephant head indicates intelligence through which obstacles in the path of achievement, be it secular or spiritual, goals can be overcome. Bhagwan also says that the elephant head indicates qualities of leadership. An elephant in the jungle symbolizes might and magnitude because it creates its own path and also shows others the way. It is not only very intelligent but also known for its loyalty and gratitude. And Swami says intelligence without gratitude is of no use. So that is another valuable lesson Lord Ganesha teaches us through his elephant face. Bhagwan once explained that Lord Ganesha is the presiding deity of all auspicious functions, and he added that Ganesha can make even inauspicious functions auspicious. So the phrase Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam, which occurs in all the four lines of this bhajan, means Lord Satya Sai, who also assumes the form of the elephant face of Lord Ganesha, he is the supremely purifying and auspicious one. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, Lord Ganesha is to be worshipped first before we undertake any task, for he clears all the hurdles on our way. Hence, when we sing this line, Ganesha Sharanam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam, let us offer ourselves to Lord Ganesha, who is the master of our sense organs,
who is the master of our mind and intellect, who is the Lord, supremely auspicious and pure. Let us pray to Him to purify our beings and to clear all obstacles in our life, whether they are spiritual or worldly. Let's move on to the second line.
Nitya smaranam parama pavanam satya sainam gajananam.
The first word here is nitya, meaning always. The second word is smaranam, to remember. That's what it means. So in this line, nitya smaranam parama pavanam satya sainam gajananam, it exhorts us to constantly remember nitya. Every time, every day, remember the supremely purifying name of Lord Sai, who is verily Lord Ganesha himself. Let's move on to the third line.
Sadguru charanam parama pavanam satya sainam gajananam.
The first word here is Sadguru, which comes from Sat meaning true and Guru means preceptor. Bhagavan also explains that Gu means darkness and Ru means light, and a Guru is therefore one who destroys the darkness of ignorance and confers the light of wisdom. Bhagavan once said, God is in all, but just like a woman fearing that her necklace has been stolen or lost, suddenly recognizes that she has it around her neck when she sees herself in a mirror, similarly humans too will recognize that God is in them when a guru reminds them of this. That is why on many occasions Swami has stressed that God alone can be the Guru, for He has the power to remove our ignorance, to show us the mirror and direct our vision inwards. And Lord Sai in human form not only came to teach us and drive us inward, but also lived His entire life in such a manner that His life became His message for all of us. And that's how He became a Sadguru, the supreme preceptor for all of us. The second word is charanam, which means feet. Now, why are the Lord's feet so important? What is the inner significance of worshipping them? Bhagavan explains, worship of padukas, the feet or the sandals that adorn the feet, is not of recent origin. Even during the Krita Yuga, the sages used to worship padukas by worshipping the feet of the Lord. The saints and sages, the holy men of the bygone era, achieved the goal of their penance in the worship of Dakshinamurti, adoration of sandals of the Lord, as the Guru is considered important. Even Shankaracharya resorted to the worship of the Lord's feet as essential. In a famous hymn, Adi Shankara declared that he was taking refuge in the Lord's feet, which are enshrined in his heart and not anywhere else. But Swami says, even the worship of padukas is an external activity. True devotion calls for the installation of the padukas in the heart. And this means that starting with the external form of worship, we should in due course make this an internal exercise. On another occasion, which was to commemorate the paduka pratishtha, or the installation of the sandals sanctified by the touch of Bhagwan's divine feet, on 7th October 1993, Bhagwan elaborated on the significance of the Lord's feet and said, Annamacharya, the great saint, hailed the feet of the Lord which bear the burdens of the entire universe and the burden of all human bodies. And Swami said, how to understand this? And he explained, the divine is Purna Swarupa, all-encompassing form. Just as the feet of the individual bear the burden of the human body, the subtle body of the divine bears on his feet the entire universe. Without the feet, the body cannot move. And Bhagwan went on to add, feet does not mean sandals made in gold or silver. Feet refer to the divine that sustains everything. And why is such greatness conferred on the feet? Viewing the matter from the point of view of science, Swami said, it should be noted that blood flows from the feet upwards to all parts of the body. It is this blood which sustains the entire body. The feet that bear the burden of the entire body are essential for life itself. When you seek refuge in the Lord's feet, Swami says, you can secure a vision of the divine form. So that is the profound and deep meaning associated with Charanam. So in this line, Sadguru Charanam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam, we reverentially bow down to the redeeming feet of the Supreme Preceptor Lord Sai, who is verily Lord Ganesha himself. Let's now move on to the last line.
Bhava Bhaya Haranam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam.
The first word here is Bhava, meaning worldly life, and the second word is Bhaya, meaning fear. The third word Haranam means to destroy. In the book Sri Satya Sai Divya Kripashraya, Mr. B.N. Narasimha Murthy, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan for many decades, shares an instance from his own life about how Bhagwan removed a fear that troubled him and how Swami saved him. Mr. Narasimha Murthy first met Bhagwan in October 1965 when he was still left with 1.5 years of studies in his engineering degree course. He confesses that during his sojourn in the engineering college, he was not very regular in his studies for 2 reasons. The first was his obsession with studying books and magazines not related to his engineering course. The books of his interest at that time were those on literature, political ideologies and political thinkers. The second reason for his neglecting his course was his overconfidence in his intelligence and memory power. He admits that he would study his course subjects only a month before the annual exams and still managed to secure a first class. Well, after his first meeting with Bhagwan in 1965, Mr. Narasimha Murthy neglected his studies completely because he spent most of his time reading books now about Swami. And he also missed many classes because of his several trips that he made to Puttaparthi. He admits that he could not concentrate properly even during the classes because of this new direction of his life. When the annual exams approached in March-April 1966, he tried his best to concentrate, but 3 days before the examination started, his dear friend Madhav disappeared from the hostel room, and this greatly shocked him. Though Madhav did return eventually, his disappearance deeply disturbed Narasimha Murthy, and he says that it was because of this that examination saw his worst performance ever in any test. Never before he had secured anything less than the first class. So when he went home after the examinations, he felt very sad for his parents, imagining their disappointment over his poor performance. As expected, Mr. Narasimha Murthy secured only a second class in the pre-final examinations, to the utter disappointment of his parents, especially his father. But he promised to secure a first rank in the final examinations the next year. Now, in the final year, however hard he tried to concentrate on his studies, it was just not happening. He says, "I had to choose either studies or Swami. I just forgot my promise to my father and I just concentrated only on Swami, and I still hoped that I would somehow study well for a month or two before the annual examinations and somehow write the examinations well, but that was not to be." A month prior to the examinations, Mr. Narasimha Murthy prayed to Bhagwan, "Lord, you have assured me that my future is safe in your hands. The forthcoming examinations is yours and not mine. Please help me to keep my promise to my father." So he tried his best to study and write the examinations, but to his utter disappointment, his performance was much below par, definitely not better than any of the previous years. In fact, in one subject related to engineering drawing, he could attempt only 34 marks out of 100, while the minimum required for passing the test was 35. he had answered questions for only 34 marks. When he returned home after the examinations, his anxious father asked him how he had fared in the exam. Mr. Narasimhamurthy replied that he had done well because he did not want to disappoint him. But inwardly, he felt sure that he would fail in one paper. And as the days of results approached, he was feeling utterly miserable. In fact, he admits that his poor performance even prevented him from praying with solid faith to Bhagwan, because somehow he lacked firm faith in Bhagwan's earlier divine words of assurance to him. And a week before the announcement of results, he confided to his father that he had not done well, but did not tell him boldly that he might fail. When his father asked that would he at least get first class, Mr. Narasimhamurthy said, yeah, maybe I will. And inwardly, he was praying to Swami for forgiveness because he knew that he had told a lie to his father. Panic and confusion gripped him on the day prior to the announcement of the results. He had no courage to face his parents and felt so distraught at the prospect of failing in examinations for the first time in his life that he quietly left his home and went away to the neighboring town where his friend Madhav lived. And that night became one of those very depressing and anxious one for his parents, because they were looking for him everywhere in panic and in shock. But Mr. Narasimhamurthy stayed in Madhav's house and confided his fears to his friend. Madhav tried to give him solace and courage and spoke reassuringly to him the entire night. And all Narasimhamurthy sir told his friend is that the only way he can imagine himself out of this situation is the divine grace of Swami. Only he could do a miracle. In any case, Madhav convinced him to go back home the next morning, and in fact he accompanied Mr. Narasimhamurthy back to his town. And as they got down from the bus, newspapers greeted them in the stands, but sir was not at all eager to check the results because he knew what would be his position. He wanted to postpone the time of learning the unpleasant news, and he told Madhav that the newspaper would be available at home and he doesn't want to see the newspaper at any cost. And as they walked towards sir's home, one of Mr. Narasimhamurthy's younger brothers came running with a newspaper in his hand. His face was brimming with joy and he shouted with uncontrollable glee, "Brother, brother, you have secured a rank. Congratulations!" Now no one could believe, neither Madhav nor Mr. Narasimhamurthy. Madhav grabbed the newspaper and he looked into it, and Mr. Narasimhamurthy's name was in the rank list. He was one of them who had secured distinction. And immediately, Mr. Narasimhamurthy's eyes were filled with tears of gratitude to Bhagwan. He just whispered to Madhav, "This is surely a miracle of Swami." And when they entered his house, the celebrations had already started. Everyone congratulated him on his distinction, and all the time Mr. Narasimhamurthy was telling in his own heart these words, "Swami, thank you. Swami, thank you very much. Please forgive me for my lack of faith in your words." And next morning, when Mr. Narasimhamurthy went to the college office in Bangalore to receive the provisional marks card, he found that almost in every paper he had secured at least 5 marks more than what he had attempted. And in engineering drawing, he had got 37 marks. Mr. Narasimhamurthy later, when he wrote this account, he says, "While I was returning home, I pondered over how Swami had influenced the minds of at least 10 examiners, and I lost myself in the bliss of complete gratitude to my divine master." So he returned home with the marks card, and when he showed it to his father was agog with joy. But Mr. Narasimhamurthy did not tell his father about this divine miracle because his father at that time had his reservations about Swami. However, that night he confided to his mother in detail about the handiwork of Swami, how it was only the Lord who helped him pass the examinations, let alone get a distinction. And his tender-hearted mother was touched by the kindness and the compassion of the Lord, and he expressed her wish to go with his son to Puttaparthi and see Bhagwan in person and offer gratitude. And within 3 days, sir, his mother and one of his sisters left for Puttaparthi, and as soon as Swami saw them in Prashantinilam, he called them for an interview, and waving his forefinger at Mr. Narasimhamurthy with a mischievous smile, Swami immediately asked, "Hey, How did you pass your examination? And Mr. Narasimhamurthy just was speechless. He fell at Bhagwan's feet, tears drenching the robe of Bhagwan. He could barely speak. He just blurted out, "Swami, I passed only because of your grace." And Swami then chided sir for what he had done on the previous day. And then he added with his right hand on his chest, "At least from now onwards, develop steady faith. Swami will never desert anyone who trusts him." These are the words of the Supreme, the most merciful one, the most auspicious one. And that is how Lord Sai works to remove a fear, even in the worldly sense. If we trust him, he will remove the fear and even work a miracle in our favor. With faith, you can move mountains. With faith, you can make the Lord do anything. So in this line, Bhavabhaya Haranam Parama Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam, we exhort one and all to remember the Lord who has all the powers to destroy every worldly fear that we have, who has the powers to take us to great heights, who has the power to help us overcome any obstacle in this worldly existence. And with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, with this understanding and visualizing the Lord in our mind's eye, let us sing this bhajan once again now with the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Ganesha Sharanam Param Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Ganesha Sharanam Param Pavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Nityasmaranam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Smaranam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Sadguru Charanam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam. Nityasmaranam Paramapavanam సత్య సాయణం గజాననం. సద్గురు చరణం పరమ పావనం సత్య సాయణం గజాననం. పరమ పావనం సత్య సాయణం గజాననం. భవభయహరణం పరమ పావనం సత్య సాయణం గజాననం. శరణం పరమ పావనం సత్య సాయణం గజాననం.
And now in the last part of this program, here is an excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. Three brothers, Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha, share about instructions about bhajan singing that they have learned from Bhagwan himself.
There's one more bhajan, Amay, which is popularly sung now. I had the opportunity of knowing the person who composed the bhajan because he was my classmate. And this happened the first year of our MBA program. And this person, this brother, was a singer and a harmonium player for many years before he joined. But even though 6 months had passed after he had joined Swami's university, Swami had still not yet given him permission to join the Mandir Bhajan group. So he was desperate to try to give a letter to Swami, but Swami was just putting him on hold. And the first semester was over and we were having our semester exams. The next day we had financial management. It was a paper that most of us were, it was a galaxy. We were seeing stars. You open the book, you don't know anything. You don't understand for various reasons. So this guy at about 11 o'clock in the night, he's flipping through his book. And he realizes he knows nothing. He knows very little and he doesn't know what to do. Tomorrow's the exam. And obviously he knows that there's a very high chance of him failing. He got very angry. This frustration that he had not yet been able to join the bhajan group came out because of that moment. He said, Swami, I have come here to sing for you. And that you have not given me and you're giving me all this. You're giving me financial management. I didn't come here for financial management. I don't want to know what this Modigliani method is. I don't know. I don't want to know. I came here for bhajan singing. Why aren't you allowing me to sing for you? And he used to have in his last page of his notebook, he had drawn the keys of the harmonium, like white key and black key, he had just drawn. And in class, he used to keep playing. As in playing in the sense, he used to, his fingers would move. He would hear the notes. So there's like a very silent connection he had with his own harmonium. He took out that notebook, he opened the notebook and he started playing. And he composed a bhajan that night. Mathura Natha Gopala. At your lowest moment, at his lowest moment at that point of time, that bhajan came out. So this is another story behind a bhajan. It wasn't, you know, it was a very different scenario under which bhajans come up for each of us.
So you heard a small excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the ashram of Bhagwan in Vrindavan, Bangalore in June 2013. And with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode and found it useful. As always, we welcome your feedback and comments. Please do send your emails to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background music for this program was done by another alumnus from Chennai, Brother T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.